What's up, y'all? Summer's got a different tempo. Everything's a little looser, brighter. One plan turns into another. You hear something, you stay a little longer. Next thing you know, you're somewhere you didn't plan to be. It's those in-between moments. That's where the ideas hit. Conversations stretch out, little memories sneak up on you. And sometimes, it's just about what's in your hand. That color, that chill. The new Tropical Butterfly Refresher from Starbucks. Guava and passion fruit flavors with mango pineapple flavored pearls. Yeah, that feels like summer before you even taste it. Funny how one small stop becomes the best part of the day. Start your summer rhythm with Starbucks. Try the new Tropical Butterfly Refresher from Starbucks.
Hi, Uncle Laser here. America's built on fast cars, fast food, and even faster women. Photo Casino's built in America. You know what they're fast at? Fast cash prize redemption. You see, only Moto is U.S. owned and operated. Moto, it's American made. That's who we are, and that's who we care about. Play for free at Moto.us.
Moto Casino is a social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Moto.us for more details. Must be 21 plus.
Moto Casino. America's social.
Every dating app swipe is another loss. Gym bros, fake CEOs, straight up losers. So now the only app I open is Moto Casino, because at least there I'm surrounded by winners, real winners, thousands of them. While everyone else is in the single swamp, I'm at home relaxing while stacking bonuses, hitting wins, and playing all my favorite Vegas style games. Moto Casino, the only app worth your time.
Moto Casino is a social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Moto.us for more details. Download the Moto Casino app today. Must be 21 plus.
Moto Casino, America's social casino.
Today on Real Ghost Stories Online, her four-year-old started casually talking about the man in her room. First, it sounded like her imagination until her daughter repeated something she had no way of knowing.
This is Real Ghost Stories Online.
Hello there, and thank you for listening. You know, we love to hear real ghost stories around here, so if you've got one, why not share it with us? If you would like to leave us a voicemail, just call 855-853-4802 or write it down by going to realghoststoriesonline.com. And if you want to support this show by becoming a premium subscriber, you get the advanced episodes, access to the archive, no commercials. You could do that. Sign up through Apple Podcasts or patreon.com/realghoststories. Kathy Gordon's here today, and I imagine that little teaser at the beginning of the show is something you could kind of relate to.
Oh, my God.
We have talked about that.
Right back. I'm like, I think I have a good handle on this story already from my past experience, but we shall see. You know, sometimes they take a different turn as I'm listening to them than I thought they were going to. But, yeah, I had a thing, and so maybe with my son, so... let's see how this one
goes. Yeah, and we've talked about that quite a few times. In fact, there is an episode that we did with Chris. Yeah. And then I actually did an episode. We turned that into an episode on the Grave Talks as well. It was a little bit more expanded on the Grave Talks. But it was just interesting because, you know, so often you hear the stories of kids having some sort of kind of a link to the other side. You know, it's like because they're young, we always say that maybe, you know, it's easier for people, the other side to get through. But the weird thing is normally kids forget it. Chris has never forgotten it.
He not only does he not forget it, it's still, you can see it in his eyes when he talks about it.
Yeah.
Like how real that was to him.
Yeah, because he would be
And haunting. Like he's still a little, you know, now that he's... As he got older and he realized that isn't normal, you know, it kind of is a haunting experience for him now that he looks back at it.
Because at the time, you know, he knew that his grandfather had died. But that's a weird concept for a child, you know. And it's like, okay, but grandpa died, but I'm still seeing him. And he's still talking to me, and we're still watching baseball games together, and it's weird. And then Chris would just randomly spout off stuff he shouldn't know. And so I find that fascinating when kids do that, but so often they forget what happened, and Chris never has. And he's, 40 years old now or something?
He is. And which
just blows me away.
You know, yesterday he came over to the house and we went for a walk with my little granddaughter and then they left and he's pulling away in the pickup and he says, "We love you, Birdie." They call me Birdie. And then he blew me a kiss and I thought, he's 40 years old and he's still blowing his mom a kiss.
Your son is like, he's got the, ever since he was a little kid, he's got the sweetest soul and he's got this deeply caring heart and, mm-hmm. you know, but he's really smart and he works in medicine and he deals with some shit at work,
God, yeah.
It's like a very stressful job, but it's just, he's just got this big heart and he always has.
Yeah.
So this story says, and I'm going to guess this person's referring to you because it says, "I was listening to an episode the other day where someone mentioned kids saying things they shouldn't be able to know. And it brought something back I haven't really thought about in a long time. I was driving the other day, heard the story, and it reminded me. This isn't, I guess, big or huge paranormal story, but it's one of those things that stuck with me. It was about 6 years ago. My daughter was 4. It was just the two of us at the time, living in a pretty standard rental house. Nothing old or unusual about it. It was one of those newer neighborhoods where everything looks the same. Nothing about the place ever felt off. Our routine was pretty predictable. I worked during the day, picked her up from preschool. We'd do dinner, cartoons, bath, bed. She was a pretty easy kid overall. Imaginative, not overly dramatic or prone to making things up for attention. The first time she said anything, it barely registered. I was tucking her in and she kept glancing to the corner of her room near the dresser. And I asked her what she was looking at. She said very casually, "He's here again." I remember asking, "Who is?" And she said, "The man." Like that should have been obvious. I didn't really feel alarmed because it sounded like the beginning of an imaginary friend. And she didn't seem scared, so I didn't want to make it into anything. I told her there wasn't anyone there, kissed her goodnight, turned off the light. Over the next couple of weeks, she mentioned him a handful of times, always the same way. Calm, almost bored by it. Never scared, never asking for help, just acknowledging he was there. Sometimes she'd say he was standing by the dresser. Once she said he was watching her play. I'd ask her a question here or there. She never gave long answers. It wasn't like she was building some big story around it. At one point, I asked her what he looked like, expecting something obviously made up, and she said, "He wears your gray shirt." That caught me a little off guard. I had an old gray button-up I used to wear at work all the time. I hadn't worn it in months. It was still in my closet, but it wasn't something she ever saw me wear anymore. I remember laughing it off and saying something like, "Well, that's weird," and moving on. Looking back, that probably should have been the first moment that I paid closer attention, but at the time, it still felt like something you could explain away. The moment that didn't sit right happened one night during our usual bedtime routine. She was quieter than normal, just watching me while I sat on the edge of her bed. I asked if she was okay, and she said, "He doesn't like it when you do that." And I asked, "Do what?" And she said, "When you cry in your room." I didn't even know how to respond to that. I asked her what she meant. She said, "At night when I'm in bed." That was the first time I felt that shift from kids say strange things to something I couldn't easily explain because I never cried in front of her. I was very careful about that. But I was going through a really tough time back then. And after she went to bed, some nights I would sit in my room and just let it out, quietly. I made a point of keeping it that way. Her room was down the hall. The house wasn't big, but it wasn't like she would have been able to hear me, especially not consistently enough to describe it like she did. And I asked her how she knew, and she just shrugged and said, "Well, he told me." Up until that point, she had never said he talked to her. I didn't really know what to do with that, so I just told her everything was fine and stayed with her a little longer that night. After that, I started noticing every little thing she said about him. Most of it was small and easy to brush off if I tried. Things like, "He was here earlier," or, "He doesn't come in your room unless you're there." One afternoon, she said, "He said you used to be happier." I never talked about my personal stuff around her. I didn't vent on the phone. I didn't argue in front of her. Nothing like that. I thought I was doing a good job of keeping that part of my life separate. At that point, I started wondering if maybe she was picking up on things emotionally. Kids can do that. They notice tone and body language, the way you carry yourself. Maybe she was just putting it together in her own way. That explanation worked until one night a friend of mine was over after my daughter had gone to bed. We were just sitting in the living room talking. I mentioned, kind of jokingly, that my daughter had been talking about an imaginary man in her room. My friend laughed it off. We moved on, but maybe 10 or 15 minutes later, we both heard a noise from down the hall. It wasn't loud. It was a soft, solid sound, like something being moved. We both stopped talking at the same time and looked down the hallway. I got up, went to check on her. She was asleep, exactly how I had left her. Nothing on the floor, nothing out of place, closet closed, window locked. I didn't mention it to her the next day. But that morning, she came into the kitchen when I was making coffee and completely unprompted said, "He moved last night." I asked her what she meant, and she pointed down the hall and said, "He was closer to my bed." That was the last time she ever said anything about him. It didn't fade out slowly. It just stopped. No more comments, no more looking toward that corner, nothing. A few months later, we moved, new house, settled into a new routine. Nothing like that ever happened again. She's 10 now, and I've asked her about it once or twice out of curiosity, and she has no memory of any of it. I've tried to come up with a reasonable explanation over the years. Maybe she heard more than I realized. Maybe she picked up on things I thought I was hiding. Maybe it really was just imagination lining up in a way that felt more meaningful than it was. But it was so specific, not just that I was upset, but when and where and the way she said it, like she wasn't even guessing. Anyway, I'd love to know your thoughts on it. I've never really been able to land on an explanation that really makes sense. Thanks for listening. Mary Jane. That is really interesting. And you know what? I want to say hats off to her because she was really trying to do everything right, you know, because being a single mom, super hard, really hard. And, you know, I'm going to guess if she was younger and it's hard to make ends meet. So it's not just being a single mom. There's a whole long list of things that go with that.
That's right.
You know, finances and stress and exes and stuff. But, you know, like she was really trying not to show that in front of her kid. Now, I'm sure that her kid picked up on some of it because it's hard to always hide everything. But, you know, like when she would cry, it's like, okay, I'm going to be in my room. I'm going to do it quietly. And I don't want her to know. It's after she's gone to bed. I'm going to fall apart tonight.
Well, and it strikes me as a 4-year-old, because that's pretty young. Because I think Chris was more like 6 when he had his. And so 4 years old, to me, is not old enough to quite even catch on to the subtle changes in your mood, right? Like, unless you're really mad or you're really sad or this or that, I think they think you're just being mom, right? I don't, and like she said, she was kind of, when she was upset, that was something she held for later, so she wasn't showing it in front of her.
Yeah.
So, and the crying in the room thing, a 4-year-old wouldn't know that. That would not be something that.
Well, and then to say, he said you used to be happier.
Yeah,
that's a really strange thing for a kid to say.
And I'm trying to, now, here's the thing, you know, because my mind immediately goes to, could this be somebody that you lost? But I think she would have thought of that already.
I would, you know, think
that she would have said, you know, my, you know, father or my grandfather or, you know, somebody that she knew that she'd lost. So I think she would have known that already. But yet he seemed to know used to. Which strikes me as somebody who's watched her.
Maybe it's somebody more, instead of like being a lost loved one, it could be like a guardian spirit or something, because he was also dressed in a shirt that she really associated with her mother.
And I thought about that too.
Which would make him feel more comfortable to her. Because, well, he's wearing mommy's shirt, so he's not all bad.
What? Or maybe
he didn't seem to really scare her.
No, no. But it is the way it ended, like she said he moved and got closer that last time. Then she never brought it up again.
I thought she was like, he moved, like backed up and he's gone. And which he kind of did, actually. Like maybe he moved closer to kind of say goodbye.
Say goodbye.
And she wasn't really sure what he was doing.
But I'm kind of with you. Is this some sort of guardian spirit? Is it like a great grandfather that you didn't ever really even know?
Yeah.
That maybe was around Mary Jane when she was little and she doesn't actually remember it, you know, or has been there kind of off and on throughout her life, keeping an eye on her. And, you know, maybe coming back, knowing that she's going through a rough time, to kind of be there for her. It seems like somebody that's specific to Mary Jane to me.
And, you know, he might have left because, you know, things maybe kind of turned around. They moved. Maybe things got a little bit better. You know, maybe if she looks back at the timing of it, it was like, you know what? He did leave when things kind of got better.
Yeah, I think maybe? Yeah, maybe? Stop and think. Yeah, yeah. Because her daughter, I'm not sure that he was there necessarily for the daughter. It's just that the daughter could see him and communicate with him. And so I'm not sure. I just kind of in my heart feel like he was there for Mary Jane.
Mm-hmm. Seems like it, doesn't it?
Mm-hmm.
Interesting story, though.
Yes, because it really does remind me of what, you know, my son and what, you know, he experienced.
Because it was super matter of fact with Chris. Like, it wasn't like...
Oh, yeah.
No, you couldn't have seen him because he died, remember? It was like, no, I saw him. Because I think at the very beginning, it wasn't like you wanted to scare him or anything like that or make him think he was weird. But, you know, you also, I think, gently reminded him that Grandpa had died. Mm-hmm. I don't think that...
It was like...
That was not a secret. Like, he was there.
He was there. But I think that he... I don't know what it was, but he would just bop in, like I'd be in the kitchen cooking or something. He'd come in and he'd say, Bozo told me that blah, 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 you know. And I'd be thinking, how would Chris know that?
And they had a really tight connection before Dad passed.
Oh my gosh, yes.
Dad adored your kids, but the two of them... Chris just loved him so much.
He called him Bozo. That's why I said Bozo. But I think that, you know, like I said, Chris knew things that he shouldn't have known. And I mean, not like weird adult things. I'm just saying, like, he would say, you know, Bozo said when you were little, you liked to do this thing. Well, Chris wouldn't know that.
No, I always find that so interesting. But now this little girl is 10 and she doesn't even remember it. And here's Chris, fully grown man with a kid and one on the way, and he still remembers it.
Oh, he does.
Mm-hmm. So interesting to me. Well, let's go to a phone call.
Good evening. I hope this phone call finds you well and in good spirits. No pun intended. I've worked in a old family owned factory for 32 years. I'm the night shift supervisor. I work very late into the mornings, usually 4 or 5 a.m. I've experienced a lot of poltergeist activity, and I'll tell you this one. Maybe in the future I'll send a few others along. On one particular evening, I was at my desk, and my desk is in the office, which is very busy during the day, but at night I'm the only guy in here, and my desk looks out over the factory floor. Well, I was making some signs, and we have a machine in the office where it seals them in plastic. So I created this sign on my computer, and I took it up to the machine that seals it in the hard plastic. And you have to turn the machine on and let it warm up, and it takes about 15 minutes. So I laid my document on the table next to the machine, flipped the switch on, and the red light comes on. And when the machine heats up and it's ready to go, the light will go out. My experience told me that I had about 15 minutes, so I was going to go back to my desk, which was about 50 feet down the hall. I go back to my desk and do a few things, and after about 15 minutes, I go back, and I got there, and my document was gone, and I couldn't believe it because I laid it real nice and neat right next to the machine. You know, it was laid out ready to go. I know I left it there. So I look under the machine, it's on a table, four-legged table. I look around the machine, look behind it, nowhere to be found. So I'm thinking, well, you know, I'm kind of losing my mind, or, you know, we get forgetful in our old age. So I said, well, I must have left it on my desk. So I go back up the hallway to my desk, and I look around my desk, and it's not on my desk. It's not in my drawers, not under my desk. So I'm thinking, you know, I'm starting to get a little hacked off about this because I know, you know, what I did with the paper. So I'm thinking, well, I must have dropped it on the way up the hallway to the machine. So I get up again and I look and I trace every step back to the machine. You know, I look in the hallway, I look in the doorways, you know, I look anywhere that I could have dropped it. And, you know, this is a big white sheet of paper, you know, regular size sheet of paper, big black type on it, nowhere to be found. I walk all the way back to the room where the machine is, and not there. Again, I look under, around, behind. So I said, well, that's it. Tired of looking for it. I'm going to go back to my office. I'm going to make this new document. I'm going to redo it. You know, I'm not very happy. It's late. I'm tired. So just for fun, on the way back to my office, I look again. I look every desktop, anywhere this could be, in the top of file cabinets, down the aisle, in the break room, all the way to my office, back on my desk, and I sit down at my desk, and I pull up the Word, you know, on the computer, and I make this document. I redo it. It was already in the computer. It wasn't that big of a deal because I had made it. I just brought it up again, printed it again, got up. I walked down the aisle, you know, all the way up to the front office where the machine is. And wouldn't you know it, right there under the machine on the floor was my document laying there, neat as could be. There's no way it could have been missed by the three trips I made up there. There was nothing obscuring the area. It was wide open. That document was there, neat as a pin, and it had reappeared. Whatever it was, you know, was messing with me and hid this document, hid this piece of paper, wasted my time. And I felt kind of angry because I just knew somebody was laughing at me somewhere. So I had two documents. I picked it up, put it in the machine and sealed it and, you know, brought it back to my desk and hung it where it goes. And, you know, that was about, I would say, 10 years ago. It's still hanging, and every time I see it, I think about that. And every time I see it, I get the feeling that somebody's laughing at me. There you have it. Have a good evening. Enjoy your show. Take care. Bye.
I find that made me laugh at the end there. Every time he sees it, I think somebody's laughing at me.
You know, I have this thing that I always say. I think when I die, I would go to heaven, hopefully. I don't know. But I'd go up to the pearly gates, right? And St. Peter would look at me and he'd say, do you realize that you spent like 87% of your life just looking for shit? And I'd be like, well, I knew it was high, but I'm blaming the poltergeist that kept moving everything around. It wasn't always my fault. And so I think maybe that's part of this.
Give me a break.
It isn't always my fault. Sometimes it is, though.
It's like, could we please have another conversation? I'm at the pearly gates.
How many times has this happened to you?
You know, what I find different, though, is it happens a lot. But normally it's, you know, you walk into the kitchen and you're like, where did that pen go? I just had it. Mm-hmm. And you look all over and you look and look and look. Everything was about that sign. I am going that he was at work. He's doing this job. I'm making a sign. I've made the sign. Now here it is. I got to set it here and just turn this machine on. I'll come back and deal with this later.
Right.
So he knew exactly where it was. Like today, yeah. I had some Visine or something. Yeah, I think it was. And I just bought it the other day. And I'm like, where did it go? I can't find it. I'm going to have to buy some new one. Well, it had fallen to the floor in my little hall cabinet thing. It had fallen on the ground. I didn't see it. I found it. You know, because I'm looking mm-hmm. all over my house. And it's little. Now, you could so absentmindedly carry something like that into another room, or it ends up in the refrigerator. Mm-hmm. But everything about this task was centered around that. That's what's so weird to me. So I don't feel like it was him being absent-minded at all. And he wouldn't have put it where he found it.
No. Well, and how many times has it happened where you go, I can't find the keys, right, or whatever. And you look and you're like, you can't find them, you can't find them, you can't find them. And then they are in like in the center of the kitchen table that you looked at 82 times.
See, and that stuff's weird. It's like, I don't know how that stuff happens.
And he's right. Like, it's like a joke. Like, somebody's laughing and laughing. And I always look around and go, funny, real funny, you know?
I just love how the sign is still there and it taunts him every time he looks at it.
Yeah, every time he thinks about it.
That made me laugh. But there, it's just different because he was working. He was doing a task at work, and that isn't how you absentmindedly carry the Visine and put it in the fridge.
Right. Or, and, you know, I'm guilty of that stuff. I truly am. But there are times where I'm like, no, I looked there. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
You know. Many times.
I don't know, but I like that story. And it sounds like he's got some other ones. So share them if you want to.
Please.
Well, if you have a real ghost story, call it in. Leave us a voicemail, 855-853-4802. Write it in at realghoststoriesonline.com. You could become a premium subscriber if you want. Get the advanced episodes, access to the archive, and no commercials. Sign up through Apple Podcasts or patreon.com/realghoststories. And for all of us here at Real Ghost Stories Online, thank you so much for listening.
John Daly here. You know what day it is? Neither do I. I live life daily. That's why I only spend on Moto Casino. Moto's got daily free bonuses, daily tournaments, new slots added daily. And the best part? Guaranteed daily jackpots. You can't beat that. So today's the day you grip it and spin it with me on Moto. America's social casino. Play for free on Moto.us.
Moto Casino is a social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Moto.us for more details. Download the Moto Casino app today. Must be 21 plus.
Moto Casino. America's social casino.
Every dating app swipe is another loss. Gym bros, fake CEOs, straight up losers. So now the only app I open is Moto Casino, because at least there I'm surrounded by winners, real winners, thousands of them. While everyone else is in the single swamp, I'm at home relaxing while stacking bonuses, hitting wins, and playing all my favorite Vegas style games. Moto Casino, the only app worth your time.
Moto Casino is a social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Moto.us for more details. Download the Moto Casino app today. Must be 21 plus.
Moto Casino, America's social casino. Moto Casino, America's social casino.
Welcome to Moto Casino, where the excitement never ends. With thousands of the hottest free-to-play social casino games, fastest payouts, and the best promotions in the industry. No tricks or gimmicks. Owned and operated in the USA.
Moto Casino is a free-to-play social casino. No purchase necessary. 21 plus to play. Void where prohibited.
Sign up today for a generous welcome bonus.
Moto Casino, America's social casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
Hi, Uncle Laser here. America's built on fast cars, fast food, and even faster women. Moto Casino's built in America. You know what they're fast at? Fast cash prize redemption. You see, only Moto is U.S. owned and operated. Moto. It's American made. That's who we are, and that's who we care about. Play for free at Moto.us.
Moto Casino is the social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Moto.us for more details. Must be 21 plus.
Moto Casino.
You ain't heard about Moto Casino? Moto has real Vegas slots. Any game you can find on the floor in Vegas, you can play it on Moto. I like my slots hot. Moto's free to play, like food stamps. In line at the grocery store, at a funeral, in traffic. Keep your eyes on the road. Hop on Moto Casino. Moto Casino got jackpots that are bigger than my belly. Moto, America's hottest free-to-play social casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today. Moto Casino is a social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Moto.us for more details.
Moto Casino. America's social casino.
Here's golf legend John Daly.
Hell yeah, these wins are piling up faster than my divorces.
I only spent on Moto, America's social casino. You know I've won a couple of majors. And on Moto, I've won majors, grands, and epic jackpots on their classic Vegas slots with huge, huge bonus rounds. Moto Casino adds new games and awards players free coins every single day. Grip it and spin it on Moto Casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today. Moto Casino is a social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Moto.us for more details.
Moto Casino. America's social casino.
Hi, Uncle Laser here. America's built on fast cars, fast food, and even faster women. Moto Casino's built in America. You know what they're fast at? Fast cash prize redemption. You see, only Moto is U.S. owned and operated. Moto, it's American made. That's who we are, and that's who we care about. Play for free at Moto.us.
Moto Casino's the social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Moto.us for more details. Must be 21 plus.
Moto Casino. America's social casino.
You ain't heard about Moto Casino? Moto has real Vegas slots. Any game you can find on the floor in Vegas, you can play it on Moto. I like my slots hot. Moto's free to play, like food stamps. In line at the grocery store, at a funeral, in traffic. Keep your eyes on the road. Hop on Moto Casino. Moto Casino got jackpots that are bigger than my belly. Moto, America's hottest free-to-play social casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today. Moto Casino is a social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Moto.us for more details.
Moto Casino. America's social casino. Moto Casino, America's social casino.
Welcome to Moto Casino, where the excitement never ends. With thousands of the hottest free-to-play social casino games, fastest payouts, and the best promotions in the industry. No tricks or gimmicks. Owned and operated in the USA.
Moto Casino is a free-to-play social casino. No purchase necessary. 21 plus to play. Void where prohibited.
Sign up today for a generous welcome bonus.
Moto Casino, America's social casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
Lots of places can expose you to identity theft. That's why LifeLock monitors hundreds of millions of data points a second for threats to your identity, which is way more than anyone can do on their own. If we find anything suspicious, like new loans or changes to your financial accounts, we alert you right away, all through text, phone, email, or the LifeLock app. Save up to 30% your first year. Visit LifeLock.com/iHeart. Terms apply.